Welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast on Stand Up Radio 102.5 FM with myself, Peter Sheeran, on the 23rd of August, Monday morning. It's the start of a new week. If you're a five-day working person, which very few people I know are, they're all sort of bits and pieces here and there and all that sort of thing. On the show today, we'll be joined by the fabulous, wonderful local town councillor in the form of Victoria Tro, and she's coming on the show very soon. We'll be talking to her. Then I've got to pick out the music, which I have done on behalf of Victoria Tro, who is here in a few moments, and I think I've picked songs that would appeal to Victoria. So we're starting off with Nina Simone, The Colour of My True Love's Hair. Black is the colour.
Black is the colour of my true love's hair. His face so soft and wondrous fair.
Nina Simone, and Black is the Colour of My True Love's Hair. And we're joined by Victoria Tro. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
We've missed you on this programme.
It's been quite a while. Well, I'm back at work, and I'm so often working at, 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, or 8 or 9, teaching my English online.
Yes. Do you have pupils from around all over the place, or is it locally based?
No, they're all French and German.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, I do have a young man in Taiwan,
Oh, okay.
who works for Google. So that's quite interesting.
Oh, okay.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the Google guy, do you have to teach technical stuff, technical languages and bits of,
No, A, I mean, his English is, he's quite a high level student anyway, but usually, I mean, lots of them, they might not speak much English, but because it's such a global market, they all have the basic vocabulary of whatever their business is.
Yeah.
They just don't have all the sort of verbs and nouns and things to be able to string that vocabulary together into sentences. So they all grunt at each other down the telephone about their products. And so yeah, I'm just teaching the broader
Okay.
English. They have their vocabulary. They know what a spade is in their language.
Sure. Yeah, so I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now then, what's occurring in this town? And I'm thinking along the Kevex lines and the issues with to sum up. I'm going to try a sum up, and what you can do is pick holes in all the mistakes I'm making in terms of things. So
Okay.
keep your ears peeled, and I'll sum up what I think it is. The Kevex have run a consultation because they desperately want to shrink the place down into a more manageable size because it's spread out all over the place, including across the road and all that sort of thing. And they want to shrink it down and make it a bit more manageable and maybe more up to date, and also sort out some of the maintenance work that desperately needs doing in the space. And in so doing, they have enlisted a development company from Torbay to help them find the most expensive bits to sell off. And it's looking very much like part of that idea is to turn the fields looking down to the river from the Ashbrington, not Ashbrington, Dartmouth. What am I talking about? Dartington Road. Turn that into a housing estate. And I believe the town council have come up with ideas to still provide the money that the school requires, but in a more community-based way. Have I summed that up correctly?
Oh, well, that's quite a brutal way of putting it all.
It is.
Yes, Kevex wants to contract the size of the site. The school has more or less virtually halved in size from where it was 10 years ago. And from what I understand, trying to sort of keep track of kids across this huge site can be quite problematic and time-consuming. The Elmhurst site, the lower field site, they don't need, and yet they still have to mow it periodically and pay insurance and maintenance on it. So for them, it's a complete white elephant. I think the Kennicott building, which is a lovely, lovely building, is probably quite expensive to maintain. And also because Exeter College and South Devon hoover up so many students from across the whole area, there's not as many students in Kennicott. So again, that big building doesn't really justify itself as a sixth form centre. Now, I personally think that is an enormous shame. It's a fabulous site for a sixth form. My son will be going there, and I feel he'll have the most wonderful educational experience, the kind of educational experience he'll probably never have again. You're in this beautiful building with its own grounds, its own garden. And I don't know why more students don't go there, quite frankly. But I can see that it's expensive to maintain, doesn't really justify itself. Therefore, do we really need it? So I can understand the Kevex need to divest itself. Then there is the fact that schools, LEA schools, have been starved of funds. Kevex is a great school with great teachers in increasingly shabby buildings, rotting porta, like the Grove was, all these sort of rotting porta cabins, which you know, the doors barely close. You know, and it's actually quite a parlous state. I mean, I can remember going around Kevick's with another family when Adam was going to start. He's now going into year 11, good Lord. And I could sense that this other family were rather underwhelmed by the sort of brutalist 70s architecture or whatever it is. So they need to update. They seriously need to update.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get rid of the porter cabins. They need to spruce up, smarten up, needs a new roof. I think they will be building a new all-weather pitch on that side, which again saves, you know, trekking across the road, all of that business. So the town council, I mean, I totally, totally understand what they need to do and the fact that they don't have the money to do it. However, I feel that the lower field site, given that we have more and more building from Dartington to Bury Pomeroy, to Harberton Ford, etc., you know, the planning bill, more and more and more housing. For me, that field, if that gets built on, then there's not a lot of green space in an ever-increasing town. Now, in the Kevick's plan, the lower part of the field is maintained as a public amenity, but it's not great, and I think that's going to impact quite on user groups because they won't be able to park and get stuff down to the
river.
To the river. This is going to put more and more pressure on Swallowfields.
Already a little bit busy, Swallowfields, and you know,
they've got problems on Swallowfields. People are turning up at all times of the day and night to go paddleboarding, and they get out of their cars, they strip off, they get into their wetsuits, they blow up their paddleboards, they toddle off down to the river, then they come back and they strip off again. And I think parents are getting eyefuls of things they'd rather not get. It's sparrow fart in the morning, and I think it's putting with quite a bit of pressure. It's a little microcosm of some unhappiness around parking. Just seems to me that we have this. It's a moment in time, and if it is feasible to buy that site and create a nice big green lung for an ever increasing town, we have to try and do it so that. And the Elmhurst building, again, you know, an art centre, an arts and community centre. It was well used when the Golden Iris was there with yoga and, I don't know, various groups meeting there.
It's got some good rooms down there, really.
It's got
really
some very good rooms down there.
Yeah.
We have some very well-connected people in this town who, to create a vibrant art centre there. And to me, this would also be part of what would enhance Kevick's. Instead of sending your kids to school down a hugely congested road with an AQMA on it, which is not getting any better.
What's an AQMA?
Surround air quality management. I can't remember what the A stands for, but the air quality along Station Road is very, very bad.
Air quality and management area.
Yeah, and the air quality is not getting any better. More and more houses, more and more cars. So you might say, so to me, to send your child to a school that's got a big park across it with activity staff and then an art centre which could connect with Kevick's. Kevick's has a theatre. It has the Aerial Centre. If you could work in conjunction with the art centre, do you see what I mean? It could all tie up together and become a really great area of this town.
Well, the Aerial Centre is fabulous. It doesn't get used that much by the town.
Very rarely
do you have events that everybody turns up at.
Because you've got to walk all the way down there. Yeah. I know. But I think if you've got an established venue down there, then it would all perk up. It would all become a more vibrant part of town, and we need a park. I mean, my son, they talk about sport and football and rugby and cricket. Well, there are kids, including my son, who don't really do team games, but who would love a nice big you know, one of those big climbing structure things or a bike thing that you can cycle around it or...
We seem to be a bit lacking here in Totnes with that. I mean, if you go to other towns around this area, Kingsbridge, Ivy Ridge, those sort of areas, they seem to be more better catered for the youth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in Totnes, there's a small yard next to the pavilions for toddlers. There's a skate park and a rugby pitch.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
And there's, I think our young people are very ill-served. Somebody told me that their sons and his friends during lockdown made themselves a kind of gym set-up on the Elmhurst field, you know, to do their press-ups and pull-ups and God knows what. They, you know, set up a little...
Wow. Well, you know, there's where did they go? Bobby Tracy the other week, and they've got gym things in their field, in their area. I mean, they got a lovely area by their river where people can walk.
People
really use it. I mean, when you go down there, it is busy with people using that space. Families.
But I mean, you know, the river path from the old bridge through to the Dartington Drive, that path is walked more and more and more. In the summer, it's positively congested. And then the whole, you know, up and below the weir, the amount of swimming, paddleboarding, kayaking, just ever increasing numbers of people. Somebody inquired if what is in fact the canoe club's heart down by the river, if it was available to be turned into a cafe.
Yeah.
You know, there is a need. There is a real need, and it's such a no-brainer to me, but it's now or never.
Yes, we've got to act fast, haven't we?
Well, we are trying to act fast, but things have to go in stages. So, at this point in time, we've hired Roger Samuel, who was the head of Dartington, to do a feasibility study. Is it possible for the town council to raise the money and for that money for the site to be able to generate more or less from the get-go the income needed to pay the debt, because town councils can borrow money at a very, you know, government base rate.
Okay.
So it's but time is very, very tight.
Right.
I don't know. But at this point it's literally, can we do it? Is it possible? Is it possible to go to Kevics and say, and make them an offer?
Yeah. So Kevics will get
a concrete,
what they want.
Solid offer. So you know, if we can buy that part of the site and they sell the other, you know, the property on the Redworth site to a developer, is that possible? Is it feasible? It is a feasibility study.
Right. Okay. How long does that take to get done? Because if it's tight for time. The developers are hovering over that land, going. Developers with all
that. It's very, very tight for time. It's, I mean, I know we've got a full council meeting on the 6th of September to discuss Roger's findings.
Ah, okay.
So basically, it's almost impossible. It's a real challenge, but a challenge, certainly in my view and the view of many, if not all, councillors, worth trying.
Well, the
because
Duke,
once it's
Duke
gone,
Somerset
once it's
listens.
Gone, it's gone.
Duke of Somerset listens to this program regularly, so he'll be listening now. Duke, put your hand in your pocket and you know, hand over loads of cash to the town council. Go on, Dukey, go on, do it.
Oh, I mean, it would just be. I look at. I mean, that site is incredibly boggy. The field. I mean, you need to put Wellington boots on to walk across it.
From sort of October to April.
It's. But you put some, you know, so you put a few, well, not some good willow trees in there, which soak up water, and other trees, and you have a sort of woodland park. I mean, it just, oh.
This is an opportunity we need the town to get behind, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, I see this in my mind's eye, and it's just, you know, how could, surely this has to happen, and it will be absolutely gutting if it transpires that actually, you know, and if it is not feasible. So it's a very, very practical approach right now. Can it be done?
Let's hope it can. And it's one of those situations where it can be a win-win. Everybody can be happy.
Well, to me, it would be a real win for Kevics, because as well as, you know, having the money to do their you know, extremely necessary renovations and updatings. There's also this, there would be this great asset on the other side of the road, which could offer students all kinds of opportunities. Mm. You know, I mean, if you have an art centre there, you know, Kevex has always had a reputation for performing arts, for drama, for music, you know, that could really benefit the school in lots of ways.
Musical success stories. We've got loads of famous people from this town, and that's partially because of the school. Should we have a bit of music?
No, go on.
I think it's time.
And what have you got for me next?
I've got a bit of Gil Scott Heron.
Oh,
I think you like him, don't you?
I do.
So I think we're going to call it morning.
I'm gonna take myself a piece of sunshine and paint it all over my sky, yeah. Be no rain. Be no rain. I'm gonna take the song from every bird and make them sing it just for me. Something to teach us all about being free, yeah. Be no rain. Be no rain. And I think I'll call it morning. Tell myself I've got to be alone. Why should I subscribe to this world's madness, knowing that I've got to live on? Knowing that I've got to live on. Knowing that I've got to live on. Yeah, I think I'll call it morning. From now on, I'm gonna take myself a piece of sunshine and paint it all over my sky, yeah. Be no rain. Be no rain.
Gil Scott Heron, I think I'll call it morning. And yes, so we won't go into your stories of Gil Scott Heron right now. I think we'll leave that for another day. But yeah.
Marvellous.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you something. You set up a new page on Facebook called Enough Already.
Enough Already. Yes, I did.
And I want you to tell me a little bit more about that, because I haven't quite got across it. I don't quite know what it's about.
What's it about? I don't think a lot of people have, actually. I think I'm lacking in my explanations, and I'm not clear about what I'm trying to achieve with it. But, well, the idea of that was that there's all this talk on Facebook, and I've got this horrible feeling that it works as a palliative when we blow off on Facebook. Sorry, that's probably the wrong term. But when we do, we let off steam on Facebook. You feel like you've got it out of your system and you walk away and life carries on as it currently does. And I've got this horrible feeling that Facebook is working against people to get things done. And my idea for setting up a Facebook page called Enough Already was for action to be taken rather than blowing off steam. By all means, put your things that you are concerned about, but also put responses. How to get this sorted? How do we deal with this? How do we make things change? And it was an idea to use it almost like an events page for action to be taken, or suggestions for individuals to actually make action. Because if we don't do anything to resolve stuff ourselves as people, because I must admit, as listeners to this program will know, I've sort of lost faith in governments. I think the individuals as communities need to do things. So that's what it's for. And the idea is hopefully people would join in and come up with ideas. We need to do such and such. Anybody with me kind of thing.
Okay.
That's the plan. Okay. That's the plan.
So you've actually got to get it. So things can be born on the Facebook page, but actually need to translate into actions in the real world.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the idea. So, for example, the MIU in Totnes has been closed throughout the pandemic. And that's a very serious closure. And
absolutely,
there are reasons behind it, of course. But your town council colleague, David Matthews,
has been, yes. Shout out to David.
He's been active on the case. And he's been organising little groups
rituals,
of people,
yes,
to stand outside the thing and make public what's going on and get awareness up. So that sort of thing is what I'm talking about, actual action. You know, get out there and do something rather than just let off steam on Facebook and feel as though you've done your bit.
Scroll on by.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So it's.
So, do you think that once you put something on Facebook, you then actually need to
do something?
And then meet people. I think it's only when you actually meet people in person.
Yes.
That the next step can be taken.
Yeah, it is that. And I think getting a group together, even if it's just a discussion group, is part of the arrangement. If you're concerned about something specific, get a group together that like-minded people, or not even necessarily like-minded people, but other people who are interested in what you're dealing with, get them together in real life. We can do this now. So I think that's what's needed. We need to get off of the virtual world, which is Facebook, thinking it's a real place because it isn't, and get into the real world and actually do things, whatever they may be.
So it's about doing really big, fighting really big things.
Could be fighting, or
local.
No, I'd like to think it was nationwide. I don't like to think it's not necessarily a Totnes thing. Although at the moment, obviously, all my friends are in Totnes, so it's a Totnes thing right now. But the idea being, it could be a melting pot of ideas and actions to take. I mean, there are things like, I mean, for example, finding practical ways to use local produce, that sort of thing, you know, and highlight ways that you can, rather than using the corporate world to do your shopping, here's a method you could use for local shopping, that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. So, like our own market on a Friday, and a Saturday.
Exactly. Anything like that. Anything at all. Anything that's practical is welcome on the Enough Already page. That's the idea.
Okay. Well, if you want, I'd be very love to come and sit and talk with people, because I'm so aware that of scrolling on by and sign this petition, scroll on by.
Mm.
Isn't this awful? Scroll on by. Oh, look at that puppy. Scroll on by.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. So the idea is to not scroll on by, is actually just stop, do something, and things will then change. Whilst we're scrolling, we're just being turned into little sheep looking on a screen and thinking we're doing good when we're actually just mentally helping ourselves. We need to help ourselves by helping others at the same time.
So one thing I've learned from being on the town council is, why don't they do this?
Yes.
Why don't they do that? And it's actually, why don't we do this?
Exactly.
And how do I do that?
Yeah.
And so, on very small, and actually it can start really quite small.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to change your life to change the world. How about that? That's good.
Oh.
Hey, ooh, I'm going to write that down.
I like that. Well, I think that you have to take enough already, as a launch on a Facebook page, but you're also actually going to have, enough already gatherings somewhere at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, take even the idea of the idea into the public realm. A good idea. In fact, you've inspired me. I'm going to write a piece in the Totnes Pulse now and try and get some publicity around the idea, because I think we desperately need to actually start working closer together as people. And like you say about the Totnes Town Council, the amount of times you'll see people spikling just coming up. I don't know what I'm trying to work you
what is word, this word?
I don't know what word I'm going for there, so I'm going to give it up. Sniping, that's the word I was after. Sniping from the borders and just shouting, why don't they do that? Why are they done that? Why are they exactly that sort of thing?
I met somebody at a party and she said, I mean, bizarrely, she'll sit up at night watching some of the town council meetings on Zoom. She said, I've been to them all, planning, trees, full council.
Wow.
And she said, I didn't realise it was so involved, that you have to do, there's so some of, and some of it's so boring and then some of it's so interesting. Thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you need more responses like that, because having watched a few of the town council meetings, they are intensely boring. They are incredibly interesting, and they are all very involved. And
sometimes you just want to poke your eyes out. But you can fast forward if you're watching.
Yes, you can. Well, one thing I'd also like to do, it's a bit personal, this, but in terms of the Totnes Pulse, I quite like to get a shortened précis of the meetings regularly put up in the Totnes Pulse. So I'd like to get that organised. I did speak to Jackie Hodgson about this the other week, and I haven't actually moved on any further than that, but I would like to get that organised so that everybody can just look at the bullet points and just read through.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of it, it's simply so we have to sort of plod through all the meetings of all the committee meetings and any actions that be taken. So the only thing you need to know are any actions which have arisen from those that are going to be done, whereas it takes us an hour sometimes to sort of plod through them all.
Yes, yeah.
Then you end up with some sort of rather a lot of things which are very interesting having to be sort of all squashed in at the end.
Mm. So putting together a list of highlights would be a good thing.
Yes, and maybe we
can include things like you have no authority here moments, but the but you could have, the actual what came out of the meeting would be fun.
I just think that council meetings on Zoom was the most brilliant thing for local transparency and local democracy.
They are good.
And it's a great shame in a way that we haven't, legally we're not allowed to do them anymore.
Really?
They have to be in person.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's ridiculous.
And we're still trying to sort out a decent audio visual system which enables us to stream them. It's ongoing.
A bit tedious when you've got the facilities to do it and you can do it from home easily. There must be benefits from doing it person to person, I suppose.
Well, they're huge. I think for a council, it's much better doing it person to person. Much, much better. Because I think we all got a bit isolated, and you know, there are different. They're not factions, they're groups. I mean, if you're not connected with your councillors, it is quite easy to start getting a bit peeled off with another set of councillors. Whereas, you know, if you're all meeting in person, then you all go out for a drink afterwards. Right, which is also very good for bonding.
Yes, indeed. And also, when you're sitting at home looking through a screen, you know that councillor can't get up and hit you. So there's much more moments of factiousness, I would imagine.
Yes, I love the language of Zoom, which has emerged. You're mute! Unmute! Mute yourselves! Can't see you! Can't hear you! Got an echo! Whose radio is playing in the background?
Yes, and dogs and cats and things like that getting involved. Yes, it's... Okay, let's have a bit of music. And then after that, we can get into... I want to talk about the Mansion House. So let's a bit of Paul Simon and Can't Run, But... Simon, Can't Run But. I don't know why I like that, but it was from the Rhythm of the Saints album, and I just love that. Okay, The Mansion. Now, it seems to have come back to life to some degree.
Well, I think the mansion is from what I hear, getting up on its own 2 feet and walking about proudly and
oh, fabulously. God, we don't want to see that. That would be scary.
It's... no, I mean, it's you know, the bike, there's this new bike hub opening in the old Pulse building at the back.
Yeah, we had them on the show. And
yeah, which is a great thing.
It is.
The jamming station is going to be opening up in there. That's going to be the new home for the jamming station.
Cool.
For our young people. The cafe's been taken over. And is going to be reopening. I think they've got tenants, both, you know, permanent and part-time. They've got all sorts, you know, there's a lot of occupancy going on in there. The art groups, exercise groups, it's all
coming back.
It's all coming back. It's just great. I'm so thrilled and so happy. And, you know, the indefatigable Pat Shepherd is just driven this.
Have a talk with Pat Shepherd. She won't come on my show because she doesn't
think
she can
talk.
She won't,
but she's got very good reasons. There are very good reasons for that. I okay. totally get that.
All right.
I totally get that.
I'm not going to push too hard on that, button on that door.
But no, it's becoming, I think, a real success story and a real member of our high street. Again, it's just great.
Mm. And
it makes me smile every time I think about it.
Things like the actual building itself, are there plans in place to save the building? Because I think it needs a lot of work, doesn't it?
It does need a lot of work. Yes, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the ongoing development of applications for grant funding to, you know, future-proof the building are ongoing, and I have no doubt that they will get them. You know, especially as it becomes demonstrably a very important community heart of our town. You know, much used, much loved, much needed. You know, that all contributes to the validity of grant applications. I've no doubt but that it will it will be on that high street for many, 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 many decades to come.
Well, it's a very good building, and it's in a really great spot, and very useful for all sorts of things. And currently, Atmos are in there doing their promotional thing, but that is just one aspect of it. There's plenty of other things going on in the rooms upstairs, I guess.
Yes, and if you do go in and look at the Atmos project layout, you see it's the most a glorious reminder of what the Atmos project actually is. You know, it's a very, very good, what's the word?
Display?
What's the word? Display!
Presentation.
Yeah, presentation. So literally, slides on the walls, you know, this number of affordable homes. These workspace units, art centre. I can't remember it all. Lots of, but you go in and you think, oh my God.
So if you wanted
this
to,
is
if
a great,
you were
this
unaware
is a truly great
of what Atmos
thing.
Is, go there on a Thursday or no,
go
a Friday or a Saturday.
Go and have a look because it's a real. It's all there, and then you think we would be crazy to lose this if this is what is possible to achieve.
And there's somebody in there to talk to about it, isn't there? Ask questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good. And the opposite the. Now, I've been in this, and it seems like a rare event to go into a place like this, but opposite the entrance to the library upstairs, there's this fantastic hall.
Now, the fantastic hall is currently closed because that does need work. I think the lockdown, keeping it closed and completely unheated for over a year.
Oh, is that what happened?
There are real sort of damp problems.
Issues.
And then I think, and I think people are in there having a look, because I think what had happened was that original kind of painty stuff. I don't really know what I'm talking about. Then painted over with lots of modern painty stuff, so walls can't breathe.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's a bit of a restoration job, but it is the most fabulous space.
Yeah,
I used to sing in Ros Walker's choir in there on a Wednesday night. It is a glorious hall.
It is.
And, you know, to be able to have, you know, a music events in there, acoustic, probably just because of neighbours. It's a fantastic space.
We desperately need spaces like that in this town.
We really, really do.
We absolutely do. Having been to other towns around this area, you think, well, they've got these spaces. Why haven't we?
Yeah, well, that's why the Unhurst Centre needs to become a real sort of central hub for arts across the town.
You know, and it's bizarre. This is such a sort of a hub of a place in Devon.
I get the feeling that Totnes is the flagship town for the South Hams.
Mm.
I mean, everybody comes to Totnes.
Yeah.
And yet it's always been treated, I think, you know, we've got a long history of people arguing and talking with South Hams District Council.
I get the impression, and this is an impression, is probably not true, but I could ask somebody from the district council, but to say that Follerton House, sort of, they're parked in Follerton, but absolutely hate the town. They just hate Totnes.
Well, because we kick up so much,
we're always kicking
up.
And then
all sorts of people live here, so people might argue with there might be something that Southampton do that people in Totnes are against, and then, you know, the people leading the against, you know, were themselves once town planners, or were themselves once, you know, head of a district council in another part of the country. So they know this town's full of people who know what they're talking about.
Ah, poachers becoming gamekeepers.
Yes, I think that might be part of it.
Or the other way around,
but,
actually.
But now, I mean, you know, everybody wants to live here. I mean, it's becoming ridiculous. But it is a phenomenally popular town and really needs an art centre and a park and a fully functioning community centre in the heart of the town. And let's hope we manage to do it somehow.
I was over in Ashburton last week in the evening for an event at the Ashburton Arts Centre.
I mean, what a great thing that is.
What a great thing that is. But also, because there's an art centre there, I noticed that there's a thriving evening vibe going on in Ashburton. Yeah. Tiny place, much smaller than here, yet more alive in the evenings in a sort of continental cafe culture style than I would argue that we've got going on here at the moment.
I don't go out very much. Well, I go out to the Rutherfold, which has a very nice sort of evening air vibe.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist here,
but it was
pleasant to see shops open and outlets, not necessarily in all of them by any means, but one or two were open because there were people about and they were taking advantage of that situation. And you can't help feeling that would work here too.
Well, I have a neighbour of mine works in Maisie's Cafe on a Sunday, and on Sundays they are completely overwhelmed with punters because there is no other cafe open, according to her, in Totnes. So the sort of bars are open and restaurants are open, but if you want a cream tea or a traditional Sunday lunch, there is very few, you know, everywhere's half the high street is closed.
Does strike me as strange. I mean, the amount of forlorn tourists that turn up on a Sunday, wandering up and down Totnes going, well, it looks nice, but nothing's open.
It's all closed. Yes, it's a bit odd.
It is a bit odd, but I can understand it. I do get it, because if you're running your own shop and you're in there day in, day out, the last thing you want is to be in there on a Sunday.
Absolutely.
So I do have sympathy with the shopkeepers.
It was like an old-fashioned Sunday yesterday. We walked up the high street and when I first moved here, well, before I moved here, came down in about 1997 I came.
Did you?
And I walked out the high street on a Sunday and it was completely empty.
Sunday closing.
And it was rather nice.
Mm.
Rather old fashioned and rather If
the rest of
look.
The country, I remember joining a campaign back when they wanted to open up Sundays like the rest of the week, and I campaigned mm-hmm. Keep Sunday Special. That was what it's called.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But that failed because we were in the Gordon Gekko world, and it was time to make money. Greed is good.
Yeah.
So now we've got
there
it.
Again. Oh, we're there again.
Yes. That's a surprise, isn't it? You thought we would have learnt first time, but we haven't so much.
Have we? Oh, Prime Minister, what something about when COVID kicked off and how do we get things moving? And I can't remember what the question was. Boris Johnson laughed and said, greed.
He did, didn't
People
he?
Will do this he if they did. Can make money
oh,
out of it.
God. And he got
greed.
Away with it as well.
No
good old
Boris.
Whatsoever.
Oh, love him. Bless him.
He's
lovely.
He always hair. He's funny, isn't he? He's funny. He tells jokes. Yes. Okay, enough of that. Let's think about closing the show, because we're going to crash into Morning Connections if we're not very, very careful.
Blimey, it's 8:56.
It is. So we've got
waited on for nearly an hour.
It's easy though, isn't it?
I've waited on for nearly an hour.
We've got to go. We've got to leave. So thank you so much, Victoria Tro, for joining
absolute
us this
pleasure.
Morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. And it's lovely to get you back on the show again. Missed you
lovely.
So much. It's been so nice.
I've missed you too.
And we'll be back tomorrow with John Anderson, who we're going to be talking about the special relationship with the United States.
That's going to be very interesting.
It is. I'm
didn't know John has that history.
Yes, he script writer for the US ambassador to the UK, apparently, for a while. So we'll find out more about that tomorrow. You've been listening to the full Totnes Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM, and we're playing out with Talking Heads.